Last Word on Today FM.
It's time for The Last Word on TV and streaming with Joe Shea and Elaine Burke. And let's talk a little bit about the Emmys. And let's hear first a speech from the Emmys last night by Hannah Einbinder, saying Free Palestine in her Emmys acceptance speech.
Well, I thought it was important to talk about Palestine because it's an issue that's very dear to my heart. I have friends in Gaza who are working as frontline workers, as doctors right now in the north of Gaza to provide care for pregnant women and for school children to create schools in the refugee camps. And it's an issue that's really close to my heart. For many reasons, I feel like it is my obligation as a Jewish person to distinguish Jews from the state of Israel because our religion and our culture is such an important and longstanding, basically like institution that is really separate to this sort of ethno-nationalist state.
That was her explaining afterwards why she had said Free Palestine in the Emmy's acceptance speech. Joe Shea, how brave was that?
It's actually very brave, and Javier Bardem as well made a very big stand, a Spanish actor. It's very brave because already, within minutes, there were the usual suspects on social media saying that she was anti-Semitic, a young Jewish woman being anti-Semitic. But she, the Paramount, for instance, a very powerful studio and, of course, TV streaming service, they've already said that any attempts to boycott the Israeli film industry, people are speaking out about it, that, you know, that this is not on. You know, Paramount doesn't want it. I mean, they're not saying there's, it's not like the old days where there's a secret black book that if you step out of line, you know, in the McCarthy era and all that kind of stuff, when people were banned basically from working in Hollywood. It's very clear that if you take a stand like this today, your career is in very big danger and you will be targeted and very, very viciously targeted as well. So she is being very brave.
What do you think of it, Elaine?
Yeah, I think fair play to her. And the Paramount statement was, they kind of said that silencing individual creative artists based on their nationalities does not promote better understanding or advance the cause of peace. That is not what these artists have said. They have said that they are specifically boycotting the institutions, and framing it as targeting individual artists is actually an unfair interpretation. They are boycotting the institutions. If individual artists want to work with other institutions that are outside of the Israeli film industry, they will continue to work with them. And that's part of the film industry professionals, thousands of them, who signed that film Workers for Palestine pledge, which Hannah Einbinder signed. I'm pretty sure Javier Bardem signed. And I'm sure a lot of people on the red carpet at the Emmy signed. And a lot of them were wearing red pins as well that are for the Artists for Palestine movement.
And I'll come back to the Emmys in a moment. But you were with us last week when we heard about Ireland saying it would not enter next year's Eurovision if Israel is involved. Has there been more support for Ireland since then?
Yes, so the Dutch broadcasters have also said basically the same thing, that they will not compete if Israel is going to be a participant. Now, I'd said when I spoke to you, I would still expect the likes of Iceland, Slovenia and Spain to likely add to that boycott, essentially. And there are rumours now circulating that the EBU has made contact with the Israel delegation about this, or the Israel broadcaster about this, but they are, at the moment, rumours, so I won't really go into them just yet.
Okay, Joe Shea, what do you think of that position by RT, and will it get significant support from other European countries?
It will, because at this stage it's very much looking like there's either going to be a Eurovision without Israel or there's not going to be a Eurovision for a whole host of reasons, mainly because countries are coming out and saying we don't want to take part. Also, the organisers, the EBU, they definitely do not want this. We saw the Vuelta España, the big, huge, three-week cycle race, had to cancel their final stage yesterday, their showcase stage into Madrid, because of protests around the fact that there was an Israeli team called Israel Premier Tech, I believe, that was competing in the race, and it was disrupted the whole way through. There's either going to be a Eurovision without Israel or there's not going to be a Eurovision. And okay, I think the EBU now has to take a stand on this.
Okay, back to the Emmys. Elaine, what were the sort of standout wins, and how many of the winners are programmes that we're not actually getting to see yet here in Ireland?
The Pit, the big one.
When is that going to come here?
Oh my God, I know so many people who are dying for this show to land in Ireland, because it's been a huge hit in the States, and it's a really low budget big winner as well.
Medical drama with Noah Wiley, once best known for being in ER, yes.
Yes, exactly. Now, it is from the creator of ER. And ER was a tremendous success as a TV show. I remember it really vividly. It was probably the first big drama that I ever got sucked into. And The Pitt is similar, but it's also, it seems to be more intense from what I've heard about it, as well as this kind of medical drama. And Noah Wiley kind of coming back on the scene because of it. It has all those links to ER, has a new attitude. And God, people are dying to get their eyeballs of it this side of the water. I've no instinct, maybe Joe has a better instinct than I do, of when it's going to finally arrive here. But like a big budget streamer, things like Apple TV's Severance. So it is, it's a huge show. It's a big sensation, really.
Okay. One that also is available here is The Studio, Seth Rogen's The Studio, 13 awards. But Joe, is it really that good?
I watched one episode of it and I kind of did that thing where you kind of go, yeah, that's pretty good, I'll come back to that. And I didn't.
I did and three that, and that was it.
Yeah, yeah. And now that I've seen that that has won 13 Emmys, I'm kind of going, well, maybe I should go back and give it another chance. Because
no, it won 13 Emmys because it's about them and they love themselves. It's very navel-gazy.
It was. That's what I got about it. It was. It was really sort of like, you know, a celebration. Even though they were kind of like making fun of the Hollywood system, it was a celebration of that life. And aren't we great? And aren't we creative? And aren't we crazy? And aren't we, you know, doing such an impossible job? So I couldn't warm to it, and I'll give it another go. Why not?
Okay, but I think it'd be fair to say, Elaine, that Adolescence deserved its wins.
Absolutely. And Owen Cooper, now the youngest ever winner of the Best
Male Winner.
Actor.
There was
male
a female winner who was younger.
Actor, yes. In a limited series, and his first ever job in acting, and now he's taken away an Emmy for it. I expect he's going to be taking a lot of awards for that performance. And Erin Doherty, who is in one episode of that four-part series.
But it is brilliant.
Tremendous. It is unbelievable. That is the strongest episode of what is a really, really strong four-parter. So she walked away with Best Supporting Actress, and Stephen Graham, who also is the creator of the show, co-wrote the show, he took home the Best Actor in a Limited Series award, and thoroughly deserved, because as we've said on this show before, Adolescence was not just this tremendous tour de force of acting and screenwriting, the technical execution of it as well, and what that would have taken for the actors to perform under was unbelievable, because it's everything is one take, every single episode end to end.
And Joe, one other thing, Stephen Colbert won a prize for Outstanding Talk Series. It's not going to be worth much to him, is it? Unless he ends up streaming.
Yeah, this felt like a kind of a futile gesture, especially after the weekend we saw people literally losing their jobs for not being not heaping enough adulation on Charlie Kirk, including a Washington Post fired a black woman journalist today because she had basically tweeted Charlie Kirk's words out. So it felt like
Are they denying Charlie Kirk's actual words now?
Yeah.
The champion of free speech could say all of these things that he said, but now we're trying to pretend that he never said them, is it?
Yeah, she literally tweeted what he says, quote, about black women and being able to fly airplanes, basically. And she was hauled in front of the Washington Post board, who said, you've transgressed our rules and you've put your colleagues in danger as well, was one of the things that they threw at her, because they said, there's going to be a lashback now against us. So, you know, Stephen Colbert, it was nice to see him being celebrated, but it really felt like a futile gesture, a nod to an older America that's unfortunately gone now and may not return.
Pick of the week, Elaine, what are you going for?
So, I don't know a ton about this, because they haven't, normally they release some preview about it, but I've seen advertisements for Primetime on Thursday, and I think it's a really important subject that people need to inform themselves on. They're doing a special after the news on Thursday about the data brokerage industry and how your data is collected online and creates a very, very valuable industry around it. And people might be aware of, say, the household names and the social media apps that do this, but people aren't aware that there are many, many names you've never heard of that are doing sketchy things in this. And they speak to Johnny Ryan from the ICCL, who have actually taken some very successful legal actions in this area for the users in the EU as well.
Okay, and your pick of the week, Joe, please.
Man, I think you're a fan of Ozark.
I loved Ozark.
Yeah, and Jason Bateman was a revelation. Ozark, I thought, was fantastic. There's a new series starting on Netflix called Black Rabbit on Thursday, and it's a crime drama. It's Jude Law owns an upmarket restaurant in New York. Bateman is his wayward brother who disappears and shows up with massive gambling debts and the mob after him, basically. This is a crime drama series set in a restaurant, loads of pressure, and it looks fantastic. I think Black Rabbit is going to be a real hit on Netflix from Wednesday.
Which one of the two of you recommended the Charlie Sheen documentary on Netflix?
I did. Yeah.
I have literally just managed just coming into work to take my jaw off the ground, yeah, having watched it. It is
mad.
Extraordinary.
The opening bit about him flying a plane, a commercial airline,
is about the sanest bit of the whole thing.
Yeah, it goes downhill from there. It somehow manages to get even crazier 10 minutes in. It's amazing.
It's extraordinary, and not always good ways. Anyway, thank you, Joe Shea and Elaine Burke.
The Last Word on Today FM.